What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in the building, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some great game on today's broadcast, as we always do. I'm going to need you to hit that like button, hit that share button, share this on your social media, and then I need y'all to hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. And while you're doing that, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So family, don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
If you're trying to start, grow, or scale your business and you don't have time for get-rich-quick schemes or gurus that promise you the world and don't deliver, well, you need to go ahead and check out my guy, The Business Bully, and let him teach you how to make money with your business. You've seen Dave Anderson on The Breakfast Club, on CNN, on Forbes, and on tour with me, and his clients have done over $100 million in revenue, and you can be next, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Dave's program at bully101.com to get more information. You go to that website. Use the coupon code Tariq to get an additional discount. Bully101.com. Sign up right now.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogunjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogun juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Told you that wasn't going to be too long. Man, we're here. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Everybody, I need y'all to hit that subscribe button. If you have not subscribed to this channel, ladies and gentlemen, you need to do so, because that's so very important. It is so very important to subscribe to this channel so that you can get alerted when I'm doing live broadcasts. Also, you got to hit that bell notification. You got to subscribe and then hit that bell notification, ladies and gentlemen. So when I get on, you guys are right there. You ready? Man, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about on tonight's broadcast. The first thing I want to touch on before I get into the main topic, the whole situation that's going on with Brittany Griner out there in Russia, the situation that's happening with her. I told people, I've been telling people for the last, month or so, and they can get that woman if they really wanted to get her, and they can start negotiating to get her if they really wanted to get her. And finally, they are doing everything that I said they can do. Let me go to the article here. The Biden administration, look at what they're doing here. Biden administration offers convicted Russian arms dealer in exchange for Griner and Whelan. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to do a two for one. If they give up one of their ops, one of the Russian operatives that they got in prison, who they got many of them over here. I told people they got a whole bunch of these Russian ops over here. These people, these Russian terrorists, they got a whole bunch of them in jail over here. These Russian spies, they're all over here. They got them locked up and detained. So they want to get give up one of their ops to get Britney back and a white man. You know how Biden's racist ass. They don't want to make it seem like they're doing something for a black person. So they had to throw a white man. Give us one of our white men back. They got a couple of white folks still hemmed up over there. So give us one of our white folks back. Give us one of our white men back. And Russia's like, nah, we ain't doing no two for ones. Russia's like, we're not going to do a two for one. You know, it's equal on equal. The people have to have an equal jail sentence. You dig? So they know. They've been listening to the streets. Understand, they've been listening to the damn streets. They thought that, you know, we didn't understand what was going on. They sat up here and played this game where they wanted to try to blame NBA players while they let that woman sit over there in jail and rot. They were going to blame LeBron James, and it's black men who ain't really stepping up. And we're like, man, if y'all don't get the hell out of here with that, Biden and all of these white men who are in charge right now, y'all got ops, exchange one of them damn ops. So now they're trying to do so now. They're trying to do so now. So we're going to see how this pans out, but most likely they're going to get her back. Russia's like, okay, now we can play ball. So they'll probably get her back. So now what we're going to see, I'm telling y'all this now, you're going to see when she comes back, which will be soon, they're going to get her out now. They're going to give her out now. It's going to be an op for op situation. So when they get her back, you're going to see the white LGBT community running around, turning this into some civil rights victory for them. The white LGBT community, and let's be clear, let's be very clear on record, they have not done anything for this woman or even spoken out as a unified front in favor of this woman getting back. They have not put any resources together. They've not done anything. So now when she comes back, the white LGBT community, they're going to be running around doing victory laps. They're going to turn this into the new Stonewall situation. And, you know, the Stonewall was a big old finesse that they've tried to revamp history about. So you're going to see that majorly, guys. They're going to run the whole, oh, God, they locked her up because of her sexuality. Oh, you're going to hear a whole bunch of that stuff. It's a big finesse. So just be prepared to see that. They're going to run game. They're going to make it a civil rights victory for the white LGBT community. And again, when we start looking at the Biden administration saying, hey, man, what are you going to do for black folks? What are you going to do for black voters? Well, look at what we did. We got Brittany Griner out. Look at what we did. We put our reputation on the line to get Brittany out. See, they're going to try to use that as a straw in their hat. You see, we're not going to play those games. See, they've been trying to play these little games because, you know, election season is popping. The Democrats right now, they're in the tank. Their numbers are in the tank right now. They know it. They're struggling. We're not trying to rock with them like that. And they're doing polling and they're finding out what we're talking about. The grassroots is speaking, and these polling charts that they're doing, it's reflective of what we're saying out here on the grassroots. We're going to have to get them tangibles. We're going to have to get something out this game. If we're trying to sit here and vote and put these people in office, we got to get something out of the game here. We're not trying to play these little goofy games. And here was a poll. Let me show y'all this, this from The Hill. The Hill put this out. There's a poll showing what we want and what they tried to do. They know we want reparations. The reparations movement for foundational black Americans is too heavy right now. It's polling heavy. They know we want reparations. So what they're trying to do is talk reparations and then all lives matter it. So we got to watch every little word. I want y'all to watch this. Watch how the trick bag plays out here. How they talk about what black people want and then start talking about stimulus checks for everybody. Now listen to this. They're still trying to finesse their way through it, guys. Hold on.
Shows what black voters want to see from leaders.
Hold on.
In a series of bi-monthly surveys by Black to the Future Action Fund and socio-analytical research, 6,000 black voters said economic recovery and white supremacy are the top issues leaders need to address to win their vote. During the pandemic, black people suffered more job losses than white people. In the survey, nearly a quarter of respondents reported they lost their job or had their hours cut. Meanwhile, Black-owned businesses faced more difficulties accessing Paycheck Protection Program loans. As a result, income and housing insecurity soared. A third of respondents said their personal finances worsened during the pandemic.
Okay, notice, I just want y'all to keep noticing, they keep talking about how Black people are suffering. Black, all right? And then they pivot, hold on.
45% said they had difficulty paying for usual household expenses. Now, both renters and mortgage holders say they're behind on payments. So voters have identified two policy changes they want to see. $2,000 monthly relief checks until the economy recovers, and increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. The call for monthly stimulus checks isn't new. Last January, Democratic Representatives Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib were among those who signed a letter to President Joe Biden calling for $2,000 checks until the pandemic is completed.
Now, you saw that. You saw how slick that was. Did y'all see that slick ass sleight of hand trick? Black people are suffering. Black people are doing bad. So let's give $2,000 checks and raise the minimum wage for everybody. And then pivot back to Black folks. No, we're not doing the lift all boats thing. They always have to do the lift all boats, all lives matter thing when it comes to Black people. We're not playing that game. We need reparations, tangibles, specifically for foundational Black Americans. We're not playing these games. Hold on.
Over. That did not go through. Though qualified households did receive three rounds of $1,400 stimulus checks. But with a $2,000 monthly stimulus check, 63% of survey respondents with a household income below $20,000 said they would use the money to pay for utilities. 62% said they would use it for food.
Okay. Right now it's just a bunch of data splaining. Okay. The rest is a bunch of data splaining. All right. It's a bunch of data splaining, and you watch out for the data splaining. People, well, 60% of this and 70% of that, and watch out for people who just like to do a lot of data splaining. Let's get to the point. When they do data splaining, that's their way of not getting to the point. Let's get to the point. How much money are we getting? We know what the problem is. We know who's the most affected. Okay, now let's see who we're going to compensate for the aggrievement. Let's get some numbers as far as what we're going to get. See, they think reading off data numbers will be a substitution for financial numbers. See, that's another trick too. That's why I don't get too caught up into the data splaining. Negroes who like to sit around with white folks and just talk about data. Damn that. We know what the problem is. We know who's aggrieved. I only want to talk about numbers of dollars that we're going to be compensated. Let's get into that. Don't want to waste time going over the data. Because we've gone over the data ad nauseum. We've done that so many times. We already know what the problem is. We don't have to analyze the problem at all. It's money time. This is check cutting time now. All right. Yeah, watch out for the plebiscite babblers. Well, we need to talk about the data. No, we need to talk about the money. Watch out for the data babblers. All right. That's another con game. People get chipped off a couple of dollars on the side to start data babbling, to run around and just talk about the percentages of the problem and how bad Black folks got it and the percentage rates of Black people who are unemployed. And the data shows that Black people have a big income gap as compared to whites. We know. We already know. Yeah, that tone and strappy babble. They love running around talking about the data. Okay, we know the damn data. We already know the data. Let's get to the money. Damn, let's get to the damn money. I got the data, we got to do the data. I don't know, 50% of the Black population. We know the data, let's stop. I'm not here to talk data. We already know what the data is. Let's show the paper. Let's get down to the paper. Lord, you are not impressing anybody with data babble. They think that they're doing something fly and intelligent. No, you're wasting time. And these white supremacists love Negroes who will sit there with them and waste time. In fact, some of these Negroes get chipped off to get around us and waste time just data babbling. We already know what the problem is and we know who's been aggrieved. It's time to get to the money. They don't play that. You notice they don't do the data babbling when it comes to these other groups. The minute they get aggrieved or harmed, the minute you see them get harmed, we're giving Asians $5 billion. There's no data babbling. Another group get aggrieved, an LGBT group gets aggrieved. We're giving the LGBT community $200 million. It's right to the damn money with us. Well, we need to study. Let's study the data. Let's get a commission to study the data. Man, please. No, thank you. But anyway, like I said, with Biden, his numbers are really crappy right now. People are not feeling Biden. The numbers are hella crappy right now. And they're still out here splaining. They had Van Jones out here splaining. And basically, you know, they get some of their Democratic operatives to act like they are upset with the Democrats and they want to help the Democrats figure out what to do. Understand, a lot of these people are ops. So this is Van Jones talking about what needs to be done to get the black vote. And basically, the name of the game is to just con us into believing that they're doing something for us already. That's their strategy, family. The strategy, according to Van Jones, is to basically con us into making us think that they're actually doing something. Now, listen to this. This is your boy, Van Jones. He's been chipped off. He got that $100K from Bezos, which is cool. I'm not a pocket watcher. Congratulations to getting the money. But when you start talking like this, are you really about what we're about? Hold on, listen to, this is your boy Van, hold on.
For African-American voters in particular, there's a special heartbreak because first of all, the pain is more intense. You know, the rising gas prices, food prices, it's really walloped the black community in a particular way. But the hopes were so much higher. And so you have a community that came out in huge numbers in 2018, huge numbers in 2020, expecting things to get a lot better. And instead, economically at least, it didn't come true, it got worse. And so you're going through a summer now of real heartbreak with black voters. The polls show that. And I think Biden's got to take it very seriously.
Out.
Well, a couple things. First of all, I don't think that they're doing a good job or even trying to communicate some of the stuff that's been done for the black community. For instance, billions of dollars for black.
Oh, Lord. Here comes the BS, guys. Instead of saying, hey, they should actually do something tangible for the black community. It's like, no, we should basically communicate all the stuff that has been done, which is nothing, but make it seem like it's something. Van, this is why you get a bad rap, brother. Van, this is why you get a very bad rap out here on the block. Hey, enjoy that $100 million. I ain't mad at that $100 milli. But brother, you can't represent us, brother, talking like this. Hold on.
Some of the stuff that's been done for the black community. For instance, billions of dollars for black colleges. Nobody knows that. The Department of Justice has Kristen Clark in place now. They're actually now going after police departments and fixing police departments in a way that hadn't happened under Trump.
Okay. Oh, God. Van, come on, man. Really? They're fixing police departments. Okay. Listen to Van. See, Van, I know you're listening, Van. This ain't it, Van. You can't do this type of stuff and just start blatantly lying like this. This is why folks on the block don't trust you. You're not the Negro Whisperer. I think Van and these guys kind of sell this narrative to white folks that they can communicate with white society and with the black grassroots. No, Van, they're not fixing any police departments, Van. And you know they're not, Van. Van.
They backed off. The Department of Justice under Trump was charging people way too much and criminally. They're backing off of that. You also have more black women put on the federal courts of appeals than have ever been done by any president.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, the whole gender divide. He got all the talking points from white mommy and white daddy at the DNC. They didn't give this Negro all the talking points. Van, this is why you got to get called out. Van, no, brother, we see you, Van. You're just spewing jive-ass talking points. Well, the black women, we're not doing no gender divide, Van. We don't have time to do a gender divide. Our sisters ain't going for the gender divide, Van. Van, we don't believe you, brother. Well, we got some black women in office. We got some black women judges. We got some black women on the Supreme Court. So, and some black women with some zaddies who ain't gonna do a damn thing for other black women or black society. And those are symbolic nothing burgers, Van. You're not going to fool us and finesse us with systematic or symbolic nothing burgers. These are just symbolic nothing burgers that they're trying to make seem like something. We're not going for that, Van. Stop it, man. We got to call you out, Van, to come to the to speak about the black community as we're stupid, as if we're stupid.
Backing off of that, you also have more black women put on the federal courts of appeals than have ever been done by any president. Even though it's 8 years, he's done it in less than two. He's doing stuff. They're not communicating. I think if I were the Democratic Party right now, the black community is a firewall. They need to be spending a lot of money on black radio, a lot of money in black media to just point out the fact that Joe Biden is there for the black community and is doing stuff. Right now, that particular pain is not being addressed aggressively enough for.
Okay. Van. Y'all Negroes who work for the Democrats, this just ain't going to work, man. Y'all thinking that you're going to come down to con us. That's just not working, man. They need to spend money on black media. That's that Roland Martin talk. But if you spend money on black media, give me some money so I can tell these niggas and whip them into shape and curse them out. I cuss them out for you and get them straight. Because they be stuck on stupid. So give me some money for yelling at them. That's what that is. They want to pay more Democratic ops to sit up here and yell at black folks and try to shame us for not voting. That's what that means. The Democrats need to pay for more black media, meaning Roland and other Democratic shills, like that failed black news network, Mark Lamont's shill, basically all of the get-along gang characters that don't nobody respect, that we all know about. We need to give them more money. Why? They're not giving them more money because they see that these folks are ineffective. Nobody's listening to them. We're not listening to these people. We're not dumb. We know that they're Democratic boule shills. We know this. We're not going to let them come around shaming us and talking at us about voting for nothing and how good it is to have a black woman with a zaddy in a position where she ain't going to do a damn thing for us, but it looks good that she's sitting there. We're out here getting killed. We have so many black people who are homeless. We have all of these other groups being dumped on top of us with their anti-black hatred. We're going to need tangibles. Saying that black people are a firewall. Yeah, you're struggling because we're not voting like that now because you're not giving us anything, which is the game plan. We should continue to not vote unless we get something. And for Van to sit up here talking about they've gone after the police like Trump didn't. Well, this is Biden going after the police. This is what Biden has done. He has something called Biden's Safer America Plan, where they're going to give billions of dollars to hire 100,000 more cops around the country. All right. So they're already talking about this is Biden's new. This is basically the new crime bill. The Safer America program. Safe from who? Well, safe from us, basically. Safe from the niggers. They're talking about chipping up law enforcement around the country. There's $13 billion here, another $3 billion there. They're just pulling billions of dollars all over the place to get more cops around the country to police us. That's what Biden is doing to punish the police. Come on, man. They're saying that Biden's plan has been criticized by many advocacy groups, including the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and ACLU, of course. Even some of the boule are saying, hey, man, don't put our name to it because we already know where this is going. They know that we're complaining about race soldiers and white supremacists in law enforcement. Family, we have card-carrying white supremacists working in law enforcement, and none of our elected officials are doing anything about it. That's one of the things that we have to address when we go to Washington, D.C. That is a major problem. There is a reason why black folks who are getting pulled over for traffic stops have to run for their lives, and they're getting shot 60 damn times. because you have white supremacists in law enforcement who are incentivized to execute us on the damn streets. And we don't have anybody doing anything about it, nor saying anything about it. The white media is not even pointing out all of these white supremacist groups in law enforcement. We have to hit that thing on the grassroots and bring it to our officials and bring it to the media. This is the crime bill reloaded that Biden has. This is Biden's work for black society, putting more race soldiers on our backs. They act like they don't have any money to give us our tangibles, but they magically pull out $10, $13, $14, $15 billion out the crack of their asses to fund more race soldiers. And then more billions to fund the military grade weaponry that they have. You see? So we're not going for the okey-doke. We're not playing those games. They're going to have to come through with the tangibles. We're just not playing games. And what they're doing now, and remember, Biden was like, well, when he got on that Zoom call reprimanding the black so-called representative saying, hey, let's stop talking about all this nonsense. Y'all need to be worried about the Latinos. That's who y'all need to be worried about, because you know, the white folks about to be a minority and we need to worry about these Latinos. So this dude, Biden, is already warning us we got to look out for the Latinos. Be ready for that. And we've been seeing a lot of this Afro-Latino stuff because now we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. They're going to try to get a Latino section in the African-American History Museum in D.C. This is why we got our museum about to pop off, because we could see this coming a mile away. And they're trying to latch on Latinos to foundational Black American culture, and they're using Afro-Latinos as a way to do this. And we're starting to see this all over the place. All over foundational Black American culture, they're trying to latch on Latinos. And then Afro-Latinos. And understand what an Afro-Latino is. A Latino, basically, many of these groups that were in the Caribbean and Central and South America, so that includes Belizeans, who are black, but they are technically Latino. Haitians are black, but they are technically Latino because of them being on the island of Hispaniola. And a lot of folks don't understand. Well, we already know Dominicans who are black. Many of them are black, but they damn sure don't even see themselves as black. They just see themselves as white Latino. But a lot of folks don't know, technically, Jamaica, that would be considered Latino. Yes, it is. The Jamaicans can technically, even though many of them are smart enough not to view themselves like that, some of them do actually view themselves as Latino, because the island of Jamaica, it was once taken over and dominated by the Spanish at one point. You see? So technically, they are Latino according to the definition and the maps of what makes a person a Latino or what makes a nation or a region Latino. You understand? So technically, many Jamaicans consider themselves Latino. A lot of folks don't. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, somebody said Jamaica is a Spanish word. A lot of folks don't understand that. Yes, Jamaica. The Spanish were dominating Jamaica at one point. Yes. I played in Haiti. A lot of folks didn't understand that Haitians are technically Latino, and some of them actually admit this. They are black Latinos. Somebody in the chat room said, I'm reaching. Do your research, brother. No, no, no. Do your research. I'm not making this up. No. Jamaica was Spanish before the English colonized it. Yeah. Y'all better understand technicalities, man. Look this up. Yeah, there's a Spanish town in Jamaica. Jamaica is basically a Spanish word. There's a Spanish town in Jamaica. Yes. Oh, why do you think so many names are Spanish in Jamaica? Ochos Rios. Come on. Why are there so many Spanish named places in Jamaica? Come on now. So technically, they can be considered Afro-Latinos. Yes. Watch the words that's being used. Y'all better understand history. You see? Y'all better understand history, family. Yeah, it sounds weird. It sounds weird. But when you look at the history and the culture and some of the names of certain places, technically, yeah, they are Latino. Even though many of them don't identify with it. But now a lot of Haitians identify with being a Latino nation. This is absolutely true. Family, why do you think so many black immigrants have more of a camaraderie with Mexicans and Puerto Ricans? Many of them have more of a camaraderie with them than us. They look at them as one and the same. Before us, in many cases, they look at them as our fellow Latino, our fellow immigrant. We both come from Caribbean places. It's a very interesting dynamic that black folks over here, a lot of foundational black Americans, don't understand that. A lot of FBA folks don't really understand that. Yeah, they don't speak the language, but y'all better understand what the culture is. Y'all better understand what the culture is. Latin America includes the Caribbean. Remember the Caribbean, that was the first place that was actually dominated by Columbus and the Spanish. You dig? The Spanish only got a certain part of the United States. See, this is why we're not Latino over here. They got Florida. They got California. Certain parts, not all. Louisiana at one point, certain parts. You see? So yeah, I'm giving y'all some game here because see, this is how they'll slip people in based on these technicalities, guys. Yeah? Based on these technicalities, they'll slip these people in, family. Y'all better understand the technicalities here. I'm not just whistling Dixie, as they say. So we better understand when we are talking to people and they look black, are they really black in their minds? Are these people really black in their minds? You understand? Look at certain people like people down in Honduras. You know, many of them are black, but they're black Latinos. They look at themselves as Latino. If you look at a lot of people from Belize, their names, they got Latino last names. O.T. Genesis, he's Belizean. He got a Spanish last name. You dig? It's real heavy. It's a real heavy thing. But understanding that, they're latching on all of this Latino stuff to black culture. Now, the new trailer for the new Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever, came out. And I'm not going to play the trailer because I don't want a copyright strike, but I want to play a screenshot. Well, you can see part of what you see on the screen is the screenshot. That's a screenshot from the movie. So we're watching the trailer, and I'm not going to show the trailer. I don't want a copyright strike. So I'm looking at the trailer, and as we know, the good brother who played T'Challa, Chadwick, our brother, died. And so now in the trailer, you have all of these women, these black women, being the dominant ones. You have these black women being the dominant ones. And I'm waiting on another version of T'Challa. I'm like, what brother are they going to get to replace T'Challa? I'm waiting to see some brothers they're going to get to replace T'Challa. And they keep showing these women and these women fighting and these women fighting. And I'm like, okay, what are they doing here? That all of a sudden, there's a bunch of Latino dudes popping in and out of the trailer. I'm like, what's going on here? So I'm looking at the trailer waiting on T'Challa, and then they got T'Cholo. They got, but they done gentrified Wakanda with T'Cholo popping up out the water. Okay, I'm like, okay, what's this? So now they're gentrifying Wakanda. Wakanda is being gentrified now. They're latching on all of these. the Latinos to Wakanda. They're latching them on to the franchise now. They're latching them on to the franchise. And I'm like, oh God, here they go. Here they go. Here they go. Here they go. And this franchise was already successful. Let me say this. They didn't need to do it for money. I want y'all to be very clear. They did not need to do this for no money. They didn't have to put Latinos in there for the money. The franchise was already very successful. But you already know, when we do something, black people, when we're involved in something that's successful, other groups, they gotta latch on, they gotta complain. When they hear we do, there is such a sense of entitlement. When we do something that's successful, hey, what about me? What about us? Remember when one of those food service sites were going to highlight black businesses? Remember, it was a bunch of Latinos. Wait. What about Latino businesses? What about that? What about us? We've given these people such an insane sense of entitlement, man. It is so insane. And remember, when they came out with the first Black Panther, don't forget some of the articles that came out, man. Let me show y'all some articles to refresh your memory. You had articles like this coming out. Hold on. Let me show y'all this. This is 2018. When will Latinos get our Black Panther? So yeah, the Latin media, the Latin American media, boy, they were like, hey, what about us? If the blacks can get it, what about us? When are we going to get ours? So we were getting a lot of that stuff. This contempt. If we get something for us, all of these other groups, they gotta get chipped in automatically. They just gotta get piggybacked in off of whatever we do. Man, we should have been shutting that stuff down a long time ago. And now, because of the trailer of the Black Panther, you got some Latino folks making videos trying to give props for getting grandfathered into the franchise. Hold on, this is guy right here. He's talking about thanking black folks for putting Latinos in Black Panther. And let's be very clear. This is all cap. This wasn't black folks' decision. This was the white execs over at the studios, at Marvel Studios and whatever, Universal Studios or whatever. But this was the white execs. All right. But listen to this here. Hold on one second. Let me get this. This guy is thanking black folks and all of this stuff. This is all cap. Hold on. Listen to this. Hold on.
The two that I haven't seen anyone else say.
Hold on.
I got something to say about Black Panther 2 that I haven't seen anyone else say. From the Latino community to the African-American community, I say thank you. You guys didn't need to do this, but you did. You guys finally got your own franchise. A movie that everyone collectively loves. And the first thing you do with the sequel is bring my people in. Y'all didn't need to do that. You guys know how shitty Latinos happen in Hollywood. Because you've been there. And when you guys finally made it, you didn't close that door. You looked at the Latino community and said, there's room here for you too. Thank you for this. You have no idea what it means to this community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a terrific day, everyone.
Please. Okay, now, when are they going to put us in their movies? Never. Get out of here. Man, if you don't stop. Man, please. Yeah, I'm cool on this. I ain't really too gung-ho about seeing this. Yeah, you sitting up here giving us fake props because it's not reciprocal. Yeah, we get a little fake thank you. This was white execs putting this together. And it's never reciprocal. It's never reciprocal at all. Y'all don't let us in your franchises. Y'all don't let us touch none of that. This is gentrification. They're gentrifying Wakanda. And they always do this with a successful franchise brand. Remember the Blade franchise, Wesley Snipes, very successful franchise. Blade was popping. Very successful. And with the Blade franchise, they started bringing in these other white actors as co-stars. And then ultimately, they turned Wesley Snipes into a side character in his own franchise. That's why he felt a certain way about it. He's like, hey, I ain't with this. And then they tried to blacklist our brother from, well, you know, basically, they did blacklist our brother from the industry for a while. You see? But yeah, they did the same thing. Whoa, y'all can't hear me. My bad. I'm sorry, guys. I'm talking. And y'all couldn't hear me. I'm sorry. I'm up here talking and talking and talking. I'm sorry. I'm doing the most over here. My bad. But like I said, I was talking about the Blade series with Wesley Snipes. I apologize, guys. There was a dip on the sound for a second. I was talking about the Blade franchise with Wesley Snipes. And they did the same thing with Wesley Snipes. That was a very successful franchise. And then they got some white actors to co-star with them. And then the white actors started taking a more dominant position and role in the film, to the point where Wesley Snipes was basically a side character in his own franchise. So they gentrified the Blade franchise and messed it up. They didn't have to mess that up. That was a wonderful franchise. Sometimes some certain things get too successful and then they have to sabotage it. You understand? When something is black, sometimes it can get too successful. These people, when it comes to black folks, they're like, hey, it's all about money, but it ain't, we don't need the money that bad. Now, hold on. We can't have a franchise this successful with black folks, because then they'll start getting their own ideas and start their own damn studio. So let's kind of sabotage this and gentrify it so these niggers can't get any more ideas. Man, the Blade franchise, when you have something, Blade 3 was so trash. That was deliberate. You don't have a successful brand and then totally bring in new stars for a brand that's successful. You repeat what you've already done. There was zero reason for them to bring in those two white stars or co-stars for the Blade series. That gentrified and messed the whole series up unnecessarily. That's why Wesley was like, hey man, that's why he was about to sue the studio and the whole shebang. It went downhill for nothing. All they had to do was keep Wesley in his zone. That franchise would still be alive today. But again, they didn't want that brother to get too powerful now. That was kind of a mistake. They didn't know it was going to do those type of numbers. And really, Blade was really the first of the Marvel series to really do successfully in a film version. That was the first successful Marvel film. They didn't know what it was going to do. You understand? It was kind of an experiment. They thought, it might do a few dollars. You know, we might recoup. They weren't expecting Blade to do those kind of numbers, man. I'm telling you, sometimes when we're too successful, that is a problem. They'll sabotage something that's too successful, even if they can benefit from it, because they understand white supremacy is more important. Somebody in the room said, damn, there was a Blade 3? Didn't even know. Yeah, it ain't worth looking up. It ain't worth looking up. You see, man, the Blade series, if Wesley Snipes was still in that zone, it would still be a popular brand right now. It would be right up there with the Spider-Man brand and the Avengers. They know that. That's why they sabotaged it. You understand? But we have to understand, look, man, all of this, them Trojan horsing the Latino thing with us, nah. Everybody can do their own thing. And speaking of Latinos, I saw something happen out here in LA this week. The rapper Tyga did a song called Ay Caramba, something like that, where he, you know, it's a Hispanic theme song. And in the video, he did a video where, let me see if I could show some of the visuals for the video. Hope I don't get a copyright strike. Let me see if I could show some of the visuals for the video. I'm not going to show the audio or play the audio. Tyga, let me look it up real quick. Ay Caramba. So there was supposed to be some so-called stereotypes, anti-Latino stereotypes in there, anti-Mexican stereotypes in there. So let me play just a little of the visuals of it. I'm not going to play the audio. And they made Tiger apologize. He had to go down to Power 106 and apologize. So hold on. Let me show the visuals. Hold on. So this is what they so-called got upset about. So I guess Tiger was playing like a Latino. Hold on. So this is Tiger. He's got a fat suit on. I guess he's supposed to be a Latino man watching TV at the crib. And he's out here with these Mexican women and he's eating some guacamole and stuff like that. Okay. All right, so we got the big mustache. Okay, so they're like, oh, wait a minute. Hey, you're making fun of Latino culture. Oh, you're making fun of Mexican culture. Okay. And then some of these Mexican YouTubers started putting on blackface and all that. And some of these Mexican YouTubers were some of these anti-black racists who felt a certain way about black folks anyway. So they brought Tiger down to Power 106. Okay, so this this is him in a lowrider. Okay. Now we're going to go there. So he's, you know, rolling in a lowrider. He's supposed to be, I guess, an essay. And they got tamales and he's eating stuff. So they had some of these YouTubers put on blackface and eat fried chicken, trying to insult black people. Like, hey, do you see how it feels? Whatever. Because that doesn't offend me if you're a Hispanic doing that, because most likely your abuela is black. So you're talking about your abuela. So this is Tiger, you know, doing a Mexican-themed video. Okay, so he's, all right. So they felt a certain way about that. So they brought him down to Power 106 to apologize, and they got this dude called American Cholo. He's a YouTuber. So he's one of the ones leading the charge to make Tiger apologize. All right. And right here, this Power 106, and I got a problem with this because that Gil dude from American Cholo, Gil, he's a damn anti-black racist. I have a problem with this. This is Power 106. The LA Leakers is a safe space for all guests. We believe the best way to tackle problems is through open communication, and that we're a safe space for artists and community. Tiger and the American Cholo come in to honestly discuss the issue. Communication is the key. Just incredible LA Leakers. All right. I got a problem with this. So they made Tiger come on in and apologize for the video. Let me play the clip of that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me play him talking to Gil, American Cholo. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me play the audio.
From the hottest freestyles to interviews with the biggest artists in the world.
Wait.
It's just incredible. And DJ Sour Milk, the LA Leaker.
Yeah, we got some old family that we've known for a while. We got some new family that we just met tonight. Introduce yourself real quick.
My name is Gil, and I'm known as the American Cholo on podcast on YouTube.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us.
Yeah, and we got our brother Tiger here, and I mean, I guess just right off the bat, we'll just get straight into to the video. You dropped a video a few weeks ago, Ay Caramba. Mm. There was a lot of talk on social media, you know, about it being offensive. And you know, I think people had a lot to say about it. You reached out to me and you know, you were like, one of the people that you wanted to speak to that caught your attention was Gil, American Cholo. And so first and foremost, I want to say I thought it was dope for you to take the well, man, but
I'm looking to blame or call Tiger any names. I'm looking for some kind of understanding, because in the community, the brown community, Mexican community, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't the song itself that was so offensive to us. It was the videos. Mm-hmm. It was the visuals on it, right? And I believe that it has a lot to do with just not just Tiger himself, but a lot of the industry being tone deaf when it comes to Mexican-American or just brown people in general.
Okay, hold on. Now listen to this guy. Now I've had issues with this guy right here, my damn. I've had issues with this guy. This is Gil American Cholo. I'm going to play some clips of him. So this guy's talking about how people are tone deaf because of race and all that. This guy's an anti-black racist like a mug. Hold on.
And let me explain to you what I saw as a brown man looking at that video. Okay. I'm looking at the video, and originally I see a greasy, fat Mexican eating chips, room's all dirty, and then I see when he's outside in the lowrider, you got tortilla chips falling down, and a lot of times when it comes to us, people don't really see it, but when I flip the script on it and say, okay, let's put an African-American man sitting down on a couch, dirty-ass room, eating some fried chicken, goes outside into the lowrider scene, and you got watermelon falling from the sky. And that kind of visual is the kind of visual I got to kind of explain to other people so they can...
Okay, now I want y'all to notice, he's kind of talking like a white supremacist. He keeps saying brown and all that stuff, but he uses talking points like a white supremacist. Okay, that doesn't, him saying that doesn't offend us, because hell, most likely your abuela is black too. Because down there in Mexico, Mexico was a slave colony. They like to pretend that Mexico wasn't a slave colony. It was a lot of black folks down there in Mexico too. And most likely you got a black abuela somewhere. But he's talking as if he's a white man. Hold on.
See what we're talking about.
Hold on, let me go to Tiger.
I think what it was is, and like, I wanted to go back to like why, like, I really wanted to sit with you, because I mean, I just got back from like Europe. So when I dropped the video, I wasn't in LA, I was in Europe.
Right.
And then I started seeing like a lot of people, you know, offended by it. And I was kind of confused. So that's why I didn't respond. I took time to like, didn't comment on anything, right, didn't like any posts. And I kind of like try to do my research a little bit. I try to ask a lot of my.
Okay. All right. So you guys get the gist of it. So basically, they got Tiger apologizing for the video. Now, as we know, down there in Mexico, down there, they have TV commercials. They have TV shows where they show black folks in such a negative light down there. Abuela. It's like the black abuela. Abuela, whatever. But listen. Down there in Mexico, even the postage stamps. Remember they had that postage stamp with negative black stereotypes down there? So that's very interesting that they're going to try to get Tiger out there to apologize. And, you know, Tiger is non-FBA. And Tiger's my guy. I've chopped it up with Tiger. He's a fan of the movies and all of that stuff. But Tiger, I think he's like Filipino and Jamaican or something like that. Again, the Filipinos, that's a form of Latino, by the way, because the Filipinos, they were conquered and dominated by the Spanish. That's why many Filipinos have Spanish last names. Speaking of Latino, technically the Filipinos are Latino. If you look at a lot of Filipinos, they have Hispanic last names. They have Spanish last names. But this whole thing where they had to make Tiger apologize, no. If we're going to do that, if especially at Power 106, if we're going to talk about negative images, hell, some of the stuff that's promoted could be considered negative towards black society. You understand? But what really offended me was getting the American Cholo guy, the Gil guy, on there. Having him on here, and this guy sounds like the damn alt-right. I've been back and forth with this dude on some stuff because I call out white supremacy, and he was coming at me upset because I was calling out white supremacy. Okay? This guy was upset because I was calling out white supremacy. I'm going to play some of the clips of this guy. All right, this is the same guy from a couple of years ago calling me a ghetto coon. All right? This guy talking about tone deaf about race, he's calling me a ghetto coon. Listen to this. This is the same guy a couple of years ago. Hold on.
A ghetto coon? What I'm explaining to you, carnal. See, a coon, for people who don't know, is a derogatory word that people use towards black people who they say act white. That's usually what people say when somebody disagrees with them and they're of the same color like black. Well, the reason I call Tariq a ghetto coon, because that's exactly what he is, man. He's a black man portraying himself to be this Mr. Gangsta, this Mr. Black Power, this Mr. F every other race. He hates white supremacy. He calls Latinos Mexicoons. He calls us white Hispanics. He calls us all kinds of derogatory words.
Hold on. Let me touch on it. Hold on. I want y'all to catch that. I didn't call Mexicans Mexicoons. He's just saying stuff. But he said, he calls us all types of derogatory stuff like white Hispanic. You see? That's not derogatory. That's what you call yourself. You call yourself white. You see? No. They want to play the game and escape the name. You call yourself damn white. It was Mexican American organizations that fought for the right to be classified as white. Okay? Gil, I know you're listening. Don't sit here and make it seem like I'm making up something by calling you something derogatory when I say white Hispanic. No. When the U.S. government was going to name Mexicans their own race in the U.S. Census in the 1930s. They designated Mexican a separate race from white. You know? They designated that a separate race from white. It was LULAC, one of the largest Mexican-American organizations. It was them who fought for the right to change it. They were like, no, do not make us separate from white people. We want to be white. They fought for the right to be white. Those were your organizations, Mr. Gill. That wasn't Tariq Nasheed doing that. Your organizations fought for the right to be labeled as white, sir. That's why today most of you put white on the census forms and all of your documents. You do that, not me. Y'all not going to sit up here and play this game and then get mad when we call your game out. No, get mad at yourself for doing that. You do it. Own it, dude. Own that. Don't get around us and, oh, you saying something wrong. No, no, no. Own that, brother. Y'all classify yourselves as white and you fought for the right to do so. Don't play that game over here. Hold on. Let me play that.
Chatsworth, California.
Okay, hold on.
Well, the reason I call Tariq.
Hold on.
That people use towards black people who they say act white. That's usually what people say when somebody disagrees with them and they're of the same color like black. Well, the reason I call Tariq a ghetto coon, because that's exactly what he is, man. He's a black man portraying himself to be this Mr. Gangster, this Mr. Black Power, this Mr. F every other race. He's hates white supremacy. He calls Latinos Mexicans. He calls us white Hispanics. He calls us all kinds of derogatory words and says all kinds of stereotypes and tries to make them seem as they're true. All the while, this chump lives in one of the whitest cities in the San Fernando Valley, Chatsworth, California. 2% African American. But he's over here talking like he's in South Central Compton or Watts with the brothers putting that work. So first of all, use a chump for that, and that's why you're a ghetto coon, carnal.
No. Okay, so this whole thing where black folks have to live in Compton or Watts, that's white supremacist talk. Where black folks, we got to live in Compton or Watts in order to be black? What? You see, he's just saying stuff. But he's mad because I go in after white supremacy. This is what he's upset because I call out white supremacy. I wasn't saying anything about Hispanics. I call out white supremacy. You see? So this guy has always been on some anti-black stuff. Majorly. This guy sounds like the damn alt-right when he talks. Hold on.
Now let's go forward.
Hold on.
I heard about this guy a few times in my life, people asking me. I never really paid attention. Sonny sends me a link a few days ago, and he tells me, start watching it from this mark. And he started talking about me. Just fine. People do all kind of stuff like that. But then he started going into the Latinos. He starts mocking Latinos. He starts making fun of our accent. He starts saying that all Latinos can't fight. He starts saying just that we, as Latinos, owe everything we have in the United States to the black man because of civil rights. Well, let's first get off into the stereotype that you're saying.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say none of that. By the way, I didn't say none of that. This dude is talking about I was mocking that. No, I didn't. And I didn't. They couldn't fight. No, no, stop it. All right. Hold on.
And all Latinos can't fight, and the street Latinos only pick on young little black kids who have, I think you were saying, have mental issues. Well, obviously, homie, you ain't from the streets. You've never been from the streets, if that's what you think, man. If that's the case, I guess all blacks are lazy. I guess all blacks don't pay their rent. I guess all blacks have bad credit, right?
Okay. So he just, you see, this guy just waits for a reason to start throwing some anti-black tropes out there. He can't wait to start throwing out some anti-black tropes. And I said what I said, and I say it again. Cats like him and others, dudes like him, on the streets, they don't run up on no certifieds. Yeah, I said that, and I stick by that, and he knows that, and everybody in LA knows that. Let's keep it a buck. Dudes like this, they don't run up on no certifieds. Let's keep it a buck. You don't run up on certifieds. You don't run up on no reputable brothers like that. You don't run up on nobody for real, for real. Y'all run up on civilians and kids and stuff. You dig? Y'all don't run up on no certifieds, and you know that. Where my LA people at? Where are my LA people? Y'all know I'm telling the truth, and he knows I'm telling the truth. I say they don't run up on no reputable certified street dudes. They just don't pull up on them like that trying to catch a fair one. They don't. And if you do, when? If I'm saying something that I don't know what I'm talking about, when do y'all, when? What hood did y'all pull up on and caught a fair one? What, who? Correct me then. Y'all do just like the white supremacists do. You run up on soft targets, dude. You run up on soft targets, homie. And if you step into some of the reputables, who? Name a block you pulled up on with some reputables that you caught a fair one with. Who? I'm waiting. And if some of you are listening to the broadcast, put it in the room. Put it in the comment section. Y'all target kids and innocent people and civilians. You understand that? That's the reputation. That's real. That's real. Y'all run up on kids and y'all run up on civilians. You dig? Y'all don't pull up on one of these real certified dudes. Yeah, he's talking about me. But this guy right here, this guy has a real problem with black folks, period. And I've spoken on this guy for years. It is what it is. But I want y'all to hear this guy and his buddies talk about reparations. Just to give you a further idea of this guy's anti-black racism. Just to give you a further understanding of how anti-black this guy is as far as his racism. Now, him and his buddies are talking about reparations. And I want y'all to hear this. They were talking about protesting reparations for black people and that Mexicans should get reparations before black people. So this is him and some of his buddies complaining about black people trying to get reparations. So this is your black and brown buddy right here. See, this is why them having this guy on here, having Tiger apologize to him. Man, please. Hold on. Let me play this clip of this guy right quick. Hold on. Y'all bear with me. Hold on.
Yeah, wait your turn. Wait your turn. And to those young Renaissance want to believe that, you better turn your TV, brother. You better turn your radio back.
What do you think about these black lives matter that they want to be paid for being, what is it, slaves?
Oh, reparations.
Oh, yeah, there.
Are you talking about reparations? Well, I heard they passed in North Carolina.
Yes.
But it was a small little town in North Carolina that passed reparations for whoever's over there. I'm sure they'll try to do something out here in California. I think they already actually got a little board going that they're going to start looking into it. So
yeah, and that's what we, the Raza, need to step up, protest, and I'm talking major, and turn around and tell them, no, nobody gave reparations until the Native Americans and the Mexicans get ours first. We've been going through this crap a lot longer, so I don't want to hear it. Because it's not fair, dog. How are you going to give a bunch of money to a specific group, dog? This is the United States, a melting pot. How are you going to give it to a specific group?
Because right now they've got the white people with so much guilt. It was your narrative.
Whoa. So that's your black and brown right there. This guy sounds like the damn alt-right. They're talking about, hold on, wait. I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, dude sounds like the damn alt-right. This dude was like, yeah, Mexicans have been going through it longer. What? Dude, your issue is with Spain. You better go holler at Spain. You've been going through it with Spain. So yeah, this is your black and brown coalition, man. That's your black brown coalition, man. It's real funny style. You dig? And Gil, if you're listening, you can come to my joint. I can go to yours. I know you're in North Hollywood, Gil from American Cholo. Bruh, you can come to my studio. I can go to yours. If you have any disagreement with what I'm saying or you want to chop it up or whatever, I'm here. I'm in North Hollywood all the time. I go right to your spot. You understand? To really get down and have a for real conversation, bruh. I can come to your spot, Gil. I hope you listening. I can come to North Hollywood anytime, dude. You know where I am and you know how to reach me. We can get into this reparations conversation. We can get into all that, bruh. We can chop that up for real. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But man, we got to understand the game out here, man. Look, this is why, man, we are on our FBA wave heavy. It's all about us getting what we need to get with all of these different groups coming around trying to only bring us in when it's something convenient that they can use to exploit us with. And then when they're done exploiting us, they throw us to the ringer. And this is something that I got to bring up real quick. I ain't going to dwell on it too long. But speaking of exploitation, this white man up in Canada wrote this children's book about, what's this called? Sex is a Funny Word. White man named Corey Silverberg. They wrote this book, and it's a book about how children can pleasure themselves. I'm gonna just show a quick glimpse of it right here. This is the man, and they got a black kid, I don't know if it's a black girl or black boy, in a tub. You know, hold on. This right here, this kind of filth here. Hold on 1 second. All right, hold on 1 second. Right here, touching yourself. And so they include us with the filth. When it's something filthy and degenerate, they got to include us. You dig? This is why I don't like the word inclusion. I don't like the word inclusion, because if they include us, it's always it's something exploitive. They have to exploit us, and it has to be something tacky. Like Neely Fuller said, is with us, it's always tacky or terroristic if they include us. That's why I'm all about exclusion. I just want to get stuff popping for right now, for Foundation of Black Americans. Let's exclude all of this other stuff, because we have to be taken care of. We need to get what we need to get. We need to get what the hell we need to get. The white LGBT community, that's that white LGBT stuff. They're exploitive. All of this black and brown stuff, it becomes exploitive. The non-FBA tethers, they become exploitive. No, some people are just not on the same page. As you saw, with black voters, we're looking at white supremacy as a problem. We need money, and we need to do something about this white supremacy problem. When they talk to foundational black Americans, that's the number one thing on our agenda. We got a major white supremacy problem and a money problem. Ain't nobody doing anything about it. That's the first on the banner right here. We ain't trying to talk about the Green New Deal. We ain't talking about no sex habits. We ain't talking about no black and brown coalition. No, no, no. Because all of these other groups ain't trying to do nothing about no damn white supremacy. And that includes a lot of the non-FBA folks from the Caribbean and Africa, too. Let's keep it a buck. They ain't really trying to do anything about white supremacy or racism. A lot of them are okay with being exploited. There's a video that's going on TikTok that I played. I'm going to play it here, where it looks like some kind of East Indian lady with her Nigerian husband. And remember, a lot of these East Indians, that's like Kamala Harris's mama, they classify themselves as Caucasian. So she's talking about her Nigerian husband as if she's on a slave auction or something. Listen how she's talking about her husband. I want you to listen to this. Hold on. Listen how she's talking about him. Hold on.
All right, guys. So I know a lot of you guys have been asking about a boyfriend haul. And here is...
How much a boyfriend
haul? Boyfriend haul. So I got him so long ago. I got him like about 16 years ago. But I had to return him one time. It was a long time ago, but I returned him. He came back better than ever. I like to go for like a chocolate on chocolate, so black on black. I love like purebred. This is a purebred.
I'm confused on what we're doing.
We're giving them a haul. So this is purebred Nigerian from the motherland. I don't like to crossbreed. We got the full Nigerian here. What else? One really good thing about this one is it cooks, it cleans. Actually, no, it doesn't cook. I take that back. That's next season's, but not this season's one. We're working on it.
Lord.
I do everything else.
Okay. Okay, guys. Okay. Wow, 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 wow. So she's talking about this dude as if it's a slave auction, and he's sitting up there with the coon laugh. Are we gonna build something with dudes like this, man? What are we gonna build with dudes like this? To sit up here and let your lady talk about you like this. This is beta male plantation buck talk. We can't build nothing with this guy. Just imagine this guy coming in our circles, sneaking among us, getting on some reparations panel. Just imagine. You see with the coon look on his face? No, we can't do nothing with this guy. We can't do nothing with people with this kind of mentality, guys. We got to keep it a buck. That's why we got the foundational Black American movement so heavy right now, because we're the only ones that's consistently looking at replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice, man. That's just what it is, and that's just where we are with it. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel, ladies and gentlemen. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Elite. At Tariq Nasheed on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite on Instagram. Go to officialfba.com to get my book, Foundational Black American Race Beta. Anyway, y'all have a great afternoon. Have a great weekend. Papi Akute, Lola Vuve to the family. Peace.